This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and your reader, Mike Luoma. Chapter 18 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th anniversary edition, is on the way. So let me set up the story for you, so you can get into this. We open with Governor Edwards checking in on BC by calling up Cardinal Anderson. So we've got a voice cameo by Keith Hughes, his continued cameo as the Cardinal. Shows up in this chapter at the very opening. And again, to check out Keith's stuff, go to penslinger.com. BC then has an experience. A dream? A vision? A hallucination? I leave that up to you. You be the judge. And this is a long chapter. After that, he gets brought before the light once again. So we actually have two voice cameos in this chapter, as we once again hear from Dave Robison, doing the light, the voice of the light. And again, for Dave's stuff, butterymanvoice.com or wonderthingstudios.com. So BC is still on Fortune Station, still being held captive by a religious cult whose leader he was sent to assassinate. But he's working his angles and having hallucinations or visions or dreams. That's all coming up in Chapter 18. Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Before we get into that, just a little quick news. I just got a few copies of a graphic novel I worked on for Green Mountain Support Services. This is Who We Are, Volume 2, A Day in the Life of a Direct Support Professional. Back in the summer of 2019, I interviewed 6 different direct support professionals who worked for GMSS, Green Mountain Support Services, as well as the national director of the Alliance for Direct Support Professionals, and turned their stories into comic book form. I did the script for the graphic novel, and then a bunch of other artists took over from there and did the artwork. Now it's been released, and I just got a few copies here. I don't know how it's going to be available to buy yet, so when I learn that, I will tell you. But still, very cool, and you know, this is neat because it's one... I do a lot of self-publishing, but this is one that I was contracted for and paid for in advance. It's like, you know, professional work. It's nice to see it come out. The only thing is, it takes so long. I'm so used to being able to just turn things around myself real fast. But in the world of professional publishing, it takes a bit longer. Like I said, I did all these interviews and the script was done in the summer of 2019. I also just put out a new video. I've been doing a ton of exploring. It's, I will admit, a little bit distracting me from my fiction and podcasting, but I'm discovering some amazing stuff on Vermont ridges and mountains. So I'm working on sharing that in video form to try to make it easily digestible for folks. And I just put a new one out. It's Experiencing Lone Rock Point Peninsula. It's on my YouTube channel. I'll be putting together a special episode of the Patrons Only podcast as they get their chapters ahead of time. They're getting chapter 22. So they're a little bit ahead of us here on this main public one, but you can get in on that. You can become a patron. Just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click on the patrons Patreon link. Either way, I've got three levels, $2, $5, and $10 a month. That makes you a patron, gets you some of the different free things I give away. We've got a timeline and a story web that you can get into if you're one of my patrons. So if you'd like to get in on that deeper level and support the podcast and my science fiction, just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and look for the Patreon link, or go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. As I said, it's a long chapter. We're about to get into Chapter 18 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on the way next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Are you having trouble keeping up with the ebbs and flows of modern geekery? Is the real world holding you back from knowing what is happening in the geeky world? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends, gaming group, and loved ones, Geek Radio Daily presents daily informational sessions brought to you by the wonderful Billy Flynn, the Flynnstress, and podcasting's Rich Siegfried. They contain such helpful segments as history, geek birthdays, box office results, the latest in DVD and Blu-ray, video game and comic releases. Why, they also have a weekly show hosted by the wonderful Billy Flynn and the Flynnstress, which includes interviews and commentary. And to make sure you are informed, Geek Radio Daily also provides you with your daily dose of geek news to make sure you know more than that jerk know-it-all Steve. Visit us at geekradiodaily.com. That's right, Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. Now available in fine Corinthian leather.
Now here's Chapter 18 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, the special audio edition with special guest cameos, voice cameos from Keith Hughes. You can find his stuff at penslinger.com. And Dave Robison. You can find his work at butterymanvoice.com. Chapter 18 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio. The Cardinal sighs. His secretary, buzzing him with a priority call, has interrupted his afternoon nap again. The Cardinal has been receiving calls from Governor Mark Edwards. The calls started when Campion had been gone over 2 weeks. The governor asks each time if Campion has returned, and day after day the Cardinal's answer is the same.
No, he's still away on the Pope's business, I'm afraid.
And each day, the governor says something like,
"It's getting to be a long time."
The Cardinal's answer is usually something like,
"There's really no telling how long it will take."
To which Governor Edwards normally replies,
"Well, it's been 2 weeks." Then it's 3 weeks. Then 4.
When Edwards says,
"It's been over a month,"
and asks, as he often does,
"Aren't you worried?"
the Cardinal finally admits,
"Well, yes, a little."
This surprises the governor and worries him.
"You're finally worried now."
"Well, the Pope called, asking me if he were back. That makes me start to worry."
"He made it sound like he was only going to be about a week when he left. He couldn't tell me what was up."
You know more than I do."
"What can we do?"
"I don't know. I don't really think we can do much of anything, except wait and pray for him."
"I'm not Catholic, Cardinal."
"Then do whatever it is that you do, Governor. I'll be praying for him. Good day."
Mark Edwards signs off. He doesn't like the Cardinal, never has, and couldn't see why Governor McIntyre was chumming up to the guy back when. The Cardinal doesn't even get worried about Campion, one of his own men, until after a month goes by. Edwards wonders if BC is even still alive, wonders where he is out there, as he looks out over the surface of the moon, past the rising earth, into the deep carpet of stars. BC is still alive in his closet, his cell, killing time by reading the Bible. They leave his bindings looser now, so he can exercise a little. He tries to keep some semblance of training going. When he gets food, he eats. He's decided he can't worry about what they're putting in the food. BC is sure they are drugging him, but not every meal. And he knows he needs to eat to keep up his health, his strength, and his energy. So he eats what they give him and hopes his brain doesn't end up too freshly scrubbed. Sometimes they turn off the light, so he sleeps. He can't really tell how long he sleeps when he does. He knows sometimes the lights are on for longer than a full day, sometimes shorter. He's not sure how much time has really passed. There are no clocks in his cell or along the route they walk him down to get to the bathrooms. There's no way to tell what time of day or night it is, or how many days have gone by. 3 weeks? Four, maybe? I don't know anymore. It's been a long time since I've been brought anywhere else but the bathroom. Even a long time since I've seen the light. BC sits in his cell and looks down at the Bible. He's read the book, knows it much better now. It's helped him keep his wits as he's bided his time in the closet, given him something to do. He's had the chance to think a lot, to question everything, his entire existence. It's hard to maintain my vengeance of the Lord pose after reading this stuff for real. It's not even in the New Testament. That's Old Testament. Seems to me the vengeance stuff is what Jesus was trying to eliminate, trying to change. Now it's all wrong. God damn it, why did I let them get me thinking about this shit? I gotta get out of this place. One night, as he tries to fall asleep, BC feels the room peel away from him. The walls collapse. He sees a vast ocean spread out around him. He floats alone upon the sea. Goddamn drugs, they've dosed me again. I feel clearer this time, though, but separate from myself, floating on the water. I am detached. Is this really some drug? This doesn't feel like the drugs they've been dosing me with. Hallucination from hunger? Or isolation? It feels strangely good, right somehow. Everything seems so simple. It's all so obvious from this height, laid out in front of me. Options, potentials, possible repercussions. It seems I can grasp each of them entirely, in all their complexity. If only each of us could see with such clarity, we'd all get along. It's so obvious. We just need to love. The more we love, the more we live after the body is left behind. That's what Jesus did. That's what I'm getting from all this reading. Everybody gets him wrong. Everybody ignores the inconvenient parts of the book. I see so much, yet my eyes are closed. This ocean is in my mind. This is only my cell. I'm on the floor. Curled in the fetal position with my eyes scrunched closed. Well then, open your eyes. What? You heard me. Open your eyes. Oh, this is great. Now I've got audible hallucinations happening. Must be good drugs they're feeding me. I'm not hearing anything. It's just inside my head. Maybe. Maybe not. I can live with that. Open your eyes. I'm not hearing anything. La 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 la. Come on, cut it out. Open your eyes. BC opens his eyes. There is a light around him. He is in the center of the ocean, alone on the surface of the sea. Yet somehow I can still see the lines of the cell, like two pictures superimposed one over the other. And wait. There's someone out there, on the water, walking this way. It looks like the light. You see me as him? Not quite. The other imagery works, walking on water and all. That's happened before. It's funny how the mind works, how it processes this kind of extrasensory input. It's all about frames of reference, really. How do you perceive the unperceivable? But I am not that man. See me as someone else. He is flawed, as are you. He at least tries, though. Man, I'm tripping hard.
That's one way to look at it.
And you offer?
Another way to look at it. You've opened a doorway. You've let me in. Whatever chemicals are involved have only served as the keys to open passageways inside you, to open you to the possibilities and to me. You unlocked the door. I merely walked through.
Okay, sure, whatever. I'm talking to myself.
That's one way to look at it.
And now I'm repeating myself.
It's for effect.
So what? You're supposed to be who? Jesus?
If that works for you, it's a reasonable metaphor. Yeah, Jesus, but not as portrayed by your church, as you're beginning to see. I don't recognize that Jesus at all.
Brainwashing is a wonderful thing.
So you're not really the light, you're Jesus, and I'm not really tripping. I'm having some sort of visitation, right? Now you'll tell me the benefits of the cult's dental plan and why I should sign up after you've given my head a good scrubbing, right?
No, I'm just here. You opened the door.
Yeah, I know, you just walked through it. I heard you the first time.
Maybe I'm your conscience. Of course, you wouldn't recognize me then either now, would you?
Funny.
Let's talk about your conscience.
Why?
Do you have one?
I don't know. I don't know if I do. Actually, I don't think too much about it at all, really.
Do I? You tell me.
Maybe an underdeveloped one. Hard for me to say.
I've been serving a cause.
Hell, I've been working for you, if you're Jesus.
Oh, have you now?
Well, yeah, I serve the Pope.
And that helps me how?
He's your guy, isn't he?
Says who?
Says him. He does everything in your name.
Yes, he does.
And I find it quite annoying.
From him and from everyone else who keeps claiming to do things for me in my name.
If I'm God, do you think I need people doing stuff for me? If I'm God, thy will be done, you know? It's done.
Nah, he's just one more schmuck abusing my name.
I'm thinking of changing my name, you know? Maybe to something like Ted.
We beseech thee, Almighty Ted?
Jesus is just way too used and abused. So many have killed for so long in my name. You do the same.
So sorry. Guess I'm apologizing to myself.
The psychs would have a field day with this dream.
Well then, what about the light? Isn't he guilty too?
Sure. We're all guilty.
He's killed in your name as well.
He's killed more in self-defense than in my name. You've got bad information.
Or at least I want myself to think I do.
That's right. This is just a hallucination. You're talking to yourself, telling yourself what you want to hear. Why do you deny me?
Because you aren't real. You're me, a figment of my imagination, enhanced and animated by whatever it is they've been spiking my food with.
Are you so sure of that? Why am I still here?
Go away, then. This will just be a fading memory in the morning.
You think so? Do you believe, BC? What do you believe in? Do you believe in me?
I believe in me. That's all I can believe in. I can't waste my time and energy believing in anyone else.
How sad.
Sad? Not really. Practical. Realistic.
It's sad. You deprive yourself of so much.
I'm not missing anything. Well, I miss not being in this place.
What about love?
Love? I've been in love. I've been with plenty of women. But whenever I trusted one, she usually fucked me over. If that's love, I'll pass.
That's not what I meant. You know it. That's not love.
Yeah, but, you see, I thought it was at the time. Each time. At least, I think I thought I was in love.
Another woman, one I didn't even know that well or even get to fuck, just fucked me over and left me for dead after trying to kill me.
She was cute. I had seen her around, thought she was interested.
She was, but not in a good way.
Love?
Forget about it. I can't. It's kind of my whole deal, the whole love thing. You haven't even come remotely close to love, to real love, or to me, for that matter. You used my name to smuggle and profiteer, then to kill. You kill, you say, in my name, but my name is love. You can't do these things in the name of love. Sorry, didn't mean to piss you off. You didn't. You can't, though some have tried. I don't get pissed, I just get disappointed. And some have sorely tried my patience, much as you do now. You disappoint me, BC. You're a puppet who serves a pretender. He pulls your strings. How does it feel to be such a good puppet? Or are you a puppy? Obeying your orders, obeying your master. He has you well house-trained, well-leashed, puppy. If you're Jesus, I've done it for you. Neither of us believes that for a second. You've done it for you and only you, BC. Sad, as I said. Look where you are now. Alone, drugged, on the floor of a cell on a deserted space station run by a cult, suffering from some holy delusion or vision or hallucination on the edge of insanity. No one knows or cares that you're missing. Oh, sure, your employers will care if you don't get the job done, if you don't kill the light. But then they'll deny they knew you were here, and send someone else to finish the job. They don't care about you. You have no friends, no family. No one loves you. No one misses you. Sad. Harsh. Maybe even close to the truth. But I don't need anybody else, you see? I don't answer to anyone else but me. I don't want anyone to miss me, care about me, or to go and get themselves killed trying to help me. You're right. This is my situation as it is, as I want it to be. Are you trying to convince yourself or me? And you've almost made a friend of Governor Edwards, haven't you? Part of the job. Right. Cold. But if all that's true, why have you opened yourself to me? I didn't. You're just here. I don't know why. You've been reading my words. The drugs open you to the place inside yourself where time and space cease to exist. You found me there, here on your ocean. You called to me across the surface of your sea, and I came to you. I am here because I'm always here. I'm you. I'm a part of a greater whole, and so are you. I'm here because I found my way here. How to be here. I always do. It's simple, really. You just have to love, without reservations, without conditions. That's not simple. Not for you, I know. I'm sorry for you. When you love that completely, that well, you find yourself in touch with that greater whole, all that is, all I am, all you are and can be. And when your body dies, you find you can still love and even forgive those who kill you. For you do not die, having become part of all that is, part of the greater whole, before your body passed away. When you've already gone beyond the bounds of time and space through complete love, though your flesh has been the focus for your living and loving energy, you've found the way to remain as the flesh decays. So because you love so well yourself, your energy remains? You're immortal? Not so much immortal as just always. Because I love, I am. As I am with you now, I also walk the shores of Galilee. I visit Saul. I am always at once. You rose from the dead. Part of me never died. I just became something more. A different sort of presence. My first followers felt it
when they finally began to gather back together after I was killed, and began to realize I was not gone, but still with them. They proclaimed death cannot contain him. And this is the best description of it. I am not contained.
I'm surprised my brain can make all this shit up. It sounds almost plausible. Good drugs.
Have it your way, BC. But at least consider serving love, not hate. Stop killing. Can you stop?
No. If I stop, they kill me. No retirement except for the final kind, I'm afraid. It's the rules. I didn't exactly choose this line of work. It chose me.
You started down the path yourself. You made the rules. You can change the rules. You have the seed of great things within you, Bernard Campion. Love will help it grow. The bright light dims, and BC is once again alone in the middle of his sea. He notices he can see the walls of his cell superimposed upon the image of the ocean. The lines of the room slowly become more distinct. BC blinks, and the room comes sharply into focus as the lights flicker on and the door opens.
Damn, slammed back into reality, if you can call this reality. What the fuck was that?
Two of his guards enter. They motion to BC, gesturing for him to follow them out and down the corridor. BC thinks over his dream as he shuffles down the hall.
That felt real in a way I can't put my finger on. I don't feel all groggy now. I don't feel all dosed. Of course, there's probably so much in my system now, I'm used to it. Ah, the bathroom.
They let him shower. He sees himself in the mirror and laughs. His hair and beard have grown out wildly.
Every inch the mad ancient prophet. Look at you. Just like them now.
Repent. The end is near.
Hey, hurry up! The light is waiting for you.
Finally, His Majesty is granting me an audience.
BC is led back to the throne room, his first time back there in at least a couple weeks. The light sits in the throne on the raised dais.
Hello again, Mr. Campion. We've not spoken in some time. Then again, we haven't spoken at all, really, have we? I've talked, and I know for the most part you've listened, but you've never said anything. That might be considered rude, Mr. Campion.
BC keeps silent.
Very well, Mr. Campion. You did talk to Father Kim a while back, so we know you have a voice. You almost confessed. Why won't you talk to me?
Ah, what the fuck?
What?
BC has to clear his throat. He hasn't spoken in a long while now.
What about?
You're here to kill me. They've sent you to kill me, haven't they?
Why do you keep saying that?
I can see it in your eyes. The way you're looking at me right now. The way you don't look at me. You're not as confident as you used to be, as you'd like to be. The truth bleeds out.
If I didn't think you'd have me killed, I'd tell you to go fuck yourself, long and hard.
Why so defensive, Mr. Campion? I must have hit a nerve. You pretend to be a priest, but such language.
The light tisks at him.
I am a priest.
Oh, really? And I suppose you do the Lord's work? You're just a humble missionary here to save us heretics,
I do the Lord's work just as you do.
What Lord? Who do you worship, Mr. Campion? No Lord I know. They probably tell you this.
The light makes a gun with his fingers and points it at his head, then jerks away from it as if he's being shot.
Is the Lord's work, do they? Did they tell you God?
The light stands up.
Would want me gone? Did they? Is it the Lord's will that I be removed? You're just here to help me get closer to him then, aren't you? Aren't you?
Whatever. Whatever you say.
Yes, it is whatever I say around here. This is my home, our home, Mr. Campion. We are a family, a community in the Lord. We are the body of Christ, Mr. Campion. You've been reading the book. I know you have.
Damn, he has been watching me, or having me watched. I'm a fucking lab rat. The light questions him.
Haven't you seen the hypocrisy of your so-called church for what it is now?
I see hypocrites everywhere I turn, Your Highness, Your Majesty.
Don't call me that!
You're as bad as they are.
Am I? How dare you?
Why not? You've killed people in the name of God as a means to your ends. You've killed your own people, and mine too. You killed the two who came before me, then lied to me about it.
Self-defense, I assure you.
What, no turn the other cheek?
And have it blown off. Hard to turn the other cheek when your head's been blown off, isn't it? No, thank you.
That's not in the book. Some conviction you've got there. Impressive.
Impudent. I liked you better silent.
BC shuts up. The light waits. A long silence. Then, the light speaks again.
They did order you to kill me, didn't they?
Why do you keep saying that?
You arrive unannounced. You sneak in. You kill my brothers. You're armed to the teeth when we capture you trespassing.
As we forgive those who trespass against us? BC interjects.
Shut up!
The light yells. Then he gets quiet, intense.
I know who you are. I know you and your type, Campion. Someone like you takes life far too easily. And there's no other reason for you to come here but for you to take mine. I will defend myself against you, too. I must, you see. So many times the light has shone in this world, only to be brutally snuffed out by the fearful and the ignorant. So many great religious leaders lost. I'm trying not to let that happen to me.
The light is red in the face, flushed, and he starts coughing a dry, raspy cough. Kim, at the light's right hand, leans in, concerned, but the light brushes him back with a sweep of his hand. When the light stops coughing, BC says, "So, you see yourself as another Martin Luther King, or Gandhi, or maybe even Jesus, huh?" The light clears his throat.
Mock me at your peril, Campion. There are many here. They follow my word. They see my light. Long as I am in this world, I am the light of this world, Mr. Campion. Do not mock me. It is not only my anger you stir up, but all of ours.
So speaketh the light?
Do not mock me! You do not yet know the pure, righteous anger of God, Campion.
And you're the one to bring it down on my sorry ass, is that it? The light just glares at him, stays silent. The Reverend Kim joins in on the stare as well. BC stares back at the both of them. What the fuck? Why haven't you killed me already? Are you keeping me alive for your amusement?
No, you do not amuse me.
Then why?
I can't kill you. Not outright. It's not my way.
What is your way?
You must be confessed, given a chance to recant your ways.
Oh, I see. And then you kill me, right?
No. If you truly confess, really change your ways, if you're honest and completely repentant, we'd accept you as one of us.
You'd take me as a follower.
If I really believed you'd changed, you'd need to do some serious convincing. But as I believe that Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, so I also believe that no man is beyond redemption.
The light fixes his stare squarely on BC.
Not even you, Campion. Even though I know you for the scum you are, I also know Jesus sat down at table with your kind. If he believed those as foul as you can still be redeemed, then so I too must believe. No man, no woman is beyond redemption in Jesus. You still have a chance to redeem yourself.
You'd give me that chance. How do I redeem myself? Maybe this time I can work the confession. My only chance of ever getting out of this.
Do you think you're capable of that degree of change, Campion? Do you really have it in you?
I don't know, but your offer surprises me, and I have been reading the Bible. What you say is true. Our church is flawed. We don't follow Jesus' teachings as we should. And maybe this is my chance to save myself, to save what's left of my soul. If you really mean what you're saying, I accept your offer.
It's not really my offer.
The light looks up to heaven.
But good. I'm glad I can surprise you. We do try to follow Christ's example. He was fond of second chances, even third and fourth. So, will you confess then?
To what? To who? To you? Right here? Now?
If you're ready, you can confess to us all before the community, as they did back in the earliest days. Confess before the community, the body of Christ, and be absolved.
The light draws up next to BC and places his hands on his head. Here goes. Hope they buy this. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been too long since my last confession. These are my sins. I have plotted and tried to kill your servant. I have killed your sheep. Please, I beg your forgiveness, O Lord. The crowd around them erupts in a rumble of murmurs and whispers. The light's followers grow angry at hearing BC's blatant statement of offenses stated in so matter-of-fact a fashion. Kim raises his arms, quiets the crowd, and stills the murmuring. The light speaks.
The Lord hears your sins and forgives them. You are absolved of your sins.
Phew.
And now you must serve your penance. Guards!
Two of the robed and bearded men spring up at the light's bark and grab BC by either arm. They begin dragging him out of the room. Hey, what are you doing? You said you wouldn't kill me! BC yells. The men stop dragging him as the light replies.
You must atone for your sins, Mr. Campion. You can say you confess. You can start to free your soul from torment. But confession is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. You must show you are truly sorry for your sins by voluntarily taking on any penance we give to you. I give you your penance, Campion. Your penance is another week in your chamber. You shall read the New Testament and contemplate trying to become more Christ-like. You may have already begun to save your soul tonight, Mr. Campion. You may have just saved your life as well. I was quite ready to have you killed as we began talking today, so consider this a vast improvement. Until next time, good night.
The light says. The guards again start to drag him out of the room. BC struggles to get his feet back under him, and half walks, half stumbles his way back to his cell between his two escorts. He voluntarily goes back inside, sits down, and listens as they close and lock the door once again. He picks up the Bible, flipping it open to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. Penance. Shit. Well, I think he actually bought it. We'll see. I'm sure they'll be watching me to see how diligent my penance is. Better give them a good show. That was Chapter 18 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio. We heard Dave Robison in a special guest voice cameo as The Light. You can find his stuff at ButteryManVoice.com. And a special guest voice cameo at the start of things from Keith Hughes as the Cardinal. And his material is at Penslinger.com. So BC has confessed. Penance now comes his way. Do you think they bought it? Yeah, the Light might want to believe it, but I don't know if everybody did. A very long chapter, as I mentioned. Chapter 19 on the way on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. You can get this ebook, the ebook of the novel that you're listening to, for free. It's available free in some places like Barnes & Noble and Apple, the Apple ebook store. As far as news goes, the big thing is the graphic novel, Who We Are, Volume 2, Day in the Life of a Direct Support Professional for Green Mountain Support Services, has just come my way, the book I was the author of. I wrote the comic book scripts that the artists work from. So, very proud of that showing up, and when I find out how you can get your hands on it, I will let you know that. I don't know yet, so when I do, you will. I'll tell you. And if you want to help support my efforts, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com and look for the Patreon link. I have three tiers of support set up, $2, $5, and $10 a month, depending on what you'd like to pledge and how you'd like to support the podcast. Of course, it remains free. You don't have to. It is up to you. Patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. My thanks again to Dave Robison and Keith Hughes for their voice efforts as far as the cameos and the new audio edition of the Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition goes. Get to hear them both this time. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.